I saw this maysa. It loosely relates to what we're going to be learning. Was this Moshe Rothschild, who was the founder and the director of the largest hospital in Bnei Brak. He was just nifta a couple of weeks ago, maybe Chol HaMoed. He was nifta Moshe Rothschild. He's actually Swiss originally, but so he founded a very very large hospital in Eretz Yisrael. And he was, many years ago, I don't know what year that was. Do you know what year he founded the hospital? Anybody knows? Any sure? I don't know what year it was. So he started off, he was bothered by the fact that the hospitals were not all the hospitals kept halacha, and all the hospitals in Etzel were run according to Das Torah. So he decided he wants to build a hospital, and he decided he didn't have any much, his networking wasn't very great. It was very lichid. He didn't have any networking skills, and then he didn't have any financial backing at all. So he went outside the shtibel in the larger shtibel in Bnei Brak, and he put a table out, and he put a little pushka, and he said he wants to build it. He wants to collect funds for a hospital, and that's very, very literally how he started. He said he wants to, and then people challenged him and asked him that you can't start an operation, like an enterprise like that with, you know, you don't, 5 shekel here, 10 shekel there. You can't get anywhere like this. It's not going to happen. You need millions. And he said, yeah, but I've got to start somewhere. And he almost meant it. And he started collecting ideas, and eventually he was driven by that vision of building a hospital. And he literally went, and he didn't give up, and he carried on. Then when he wanted Shlomo Lawrence was a Chavek Knesset, he spoke to him. Once the fund, it was a little bit more serious, the enterprise and the vision. So he asked, his one speaker, Shlomo Lawrence, who was in the Knesset, and he asked him if he can please help him a little bit. And he said that he didn't want to help because he said this is a dream, it's not a realistic dream. There's no way he can actually get it. He's not going to use he's got only a certain amount of pull in the Knesset. He's going to use it for something which is a waste. You know, if you use your political pulls, you have to only use it with a reservation. You can't waste your powers and your connections. So he didn't want to, he said he's not going to help. It's a waste of, until he went to the Stapler asked him some loans to help, and eventually things grew, and eventually he managed to fundraise more successfully until, yes, it became a hospital, and it became a very big hospital. Then it probably became one of the biggest hospitals, and it's still a very successful, very, very large hospital. And the message from that is obviously that if a person has a real vision, a real dream, nothing really stops. Although I don't think there's a makor. People say that, "Ein lecha dovah oimid b'fnei ha'rotzen," which is the famous saying, "Ein lecha dovah," there's nothing stops from before. "Ein lecha dovah oimid b'fnei ha'rotzen," nothing stops from a person really wanting. I don't think it's a chazal, as far as I know. I don't think there's a chazal. Somebody should Google it once, maybe, I don't know. But I don't think there's a chazal, "Ein lecha dovah oimid b'fnei ha'rotzen," but they say it is certainly true. That if a person really, really is driven by a vision, he'll get there eventually. Yeah. So we're up to 17 Chof Gimel, which. Oh yes, thank you so much for reminding me. Very good. Yes, thank you. Yeah, good. The shaila that we wanted to discuss was, we spoke about this gambling, and we spoke about the kuvia. And we spoke about the problem of gambling. What's the problem of gambling? What are the main issues? Gezel, avak gezel, yeah. So the shaila asked was that it's common practice for one of the tzedakah, one of the fundraising tzedakahs is raffles. I mean, if you've gone through the dinners, then it's the raffles again. And then the shaila is, that you give a certain, the shaila is you give a certain amount, you buy a raffle for 20, 30, 50 pounds, whatever it is, 100, whatever it is, and then you hope to win the car or the holiday in south of Spain or the Sefer Torah, whatever they're thinking of. And the question here is, why isn't this, is it perhaps, or promovar gezel? Because again, here, everybody who gives that 20 pound donation, whoever gives that 50 pound donation, he, in the back of his mind, he wants to get this villa in south of Spain, and the same also when you have the smaller scale raffles that you're getting, here again, everybody's, you're buying a raffle with, in the back of your mind, of actually winning. So is this of a gezel or not?
Nope.
No.
Why not?
I'd say there's three reasons.
Three? Yeah. On the spot, wow.
Number one, because everyone who enters really wins, because they know that they're buying a chelek of it's a mitzvah.
And mitzvah?
They're getting sky lamas, so they don't really have the same kesorin if they don't win.
Yeah, two, very good.
Because it is for a mitzvah, and since the whole avat gezel thing is midah rabbanan,
Will not make a takana for tzedakah purpose. Okay, and thirdly?
And thirdly, not everyone wants the prizes. You don't really go in expecting that you're going to win it.
So you're not necessarily giving it for with intention of...
If it was money...
I'm not sure about the first one.
That's one thing. But if you really want to win, whatever the particular prize is, and sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, but you probably think,
okay. Okay, so very interesting. All three svaras are interesting. Will everybody agree to that?
It's just a once-off thing. It's not like on a regular basis that you do.
Well, are you allowed to play... gambling once-off is also about gezel. Because you think you're...
This is master money, technically, isn't it?
It may or may not be. What if you've given all your ma'aser, you're doing beyond the ma'aser? You've given all your ma'aser, and you would that be also then?
You're giving
it to Stocker. Good. So the answer is, so, Rabbi Yaakov Bloy, the ultimate Chosha Mishpat, Posik of our last generation, he paskins that it is his no shaila at all. The reason being, your reason number one. And he says that because ultimately, it's the way it works psychologically. Now, that's the way he understands. Psychologically, he understands that if a person buys a raffle for Stocker, actually, you're more than happy to give £20 to Stocker. You haven't got an issue with it. You're happy to give the £50. You don't mind giving the £100. It's just that it's helping you to give to this particular place as opposed to other places. And that's helping you to do it. But you're not actually doing it to win the prize. You're not doing it for the winning of the prize. So it's very different than the issue of gambling, of kuvi, because kuvi, the whole drive is to get to the prize. And that's why you maybe hold, if you win, you're holding people's money that is to some extent stolen, because they only gave it for winning. Here, you're not only giving it for winning, here you're actually giving it because you want to give Stocker. It's just helping you to channel it in that particular place. It's just helping to channel it in that, to figure out exactly how much to give. But it's not really, you bet, you're quite happy not to win either. It's just helping you a little bit. It's that additional support mechanism. And that's why there's no shaila of a gezel, and that's why it's a kosher minig, and it's a minig yosha, and a minig toiv, and there's no shaila of a gezel within that. Asu'at kan divrei Reb Yaakov Bloy zichron livrocha. Okay, it's interesting as well. It's interesting. I think we have to, psychologically, do you think you agree with that? I think it's probably very true. No? I think it's very true. I don't know. I'm raising my hand because there should be a gezel within it. There should be mishum kuvia, but I know that I'm wrong. I know that I'm wrong because I know that some people are matzeh. I'm not sure why. So there must be some heter which I'm.
Actually, to be honest, the Lottery Foundation also gives up to stuff. It's not like a lot the same to
you,
but they do give.
Yeah, but that's not your. Is that in the back of your mind? It's not. I don't think it is.
I'm just saying,
You wouldn't be able to give mice to most of the things. If they're buying benches on a playground, right. It's hard to give mice on that. Okay, Simon Shin Chav Gimel Din Shashaol Vedini Vekinyan Vetzorke Shabbos Vadochas Kelim Vetikun Tfilosim Beshabbos. So hold on to this one. So in Shin Chav Gimel, we've got plenty to discuss. That's Hashala, Kinyan Tzorke Shabbos, Hadochas Kelim, Tikun Kelim, Tfilos Kelim, all that. So there's lots to be discussed, and you will see it's touching on many subjects, including Seif Aleph, which is Motolay Malechaveroi Maleli Kliza. So we build background information just to get clarity in this Seif. We're going to be talking on Mekach Umemka here, but we have to realize that Mekach Umemka then business, the Issel business. So we all appreciate that doing business on Shabbos is an awesome and Rabbonon. We're okay with that. Now we just have to realize how closely connected the business transaction is on Shabbos with the Issel of Medida. Measuring. Because in olden days, when you'd purchase something, it wouldn't be readily wrapped and packed the way it is nowadays. But every item you'd buy has to be weighed, or it has to be counted, or it has to be whatever it may be, but it has to go through measuring process. So measuring and business is very closely related. Hence, you are allowed to tell your friend, you go to your friend, you say, listen here, do you mind, I've got a cup over here, I've got a bowl over here, can you please fill it with flour, with sugar, with coffee, whatever it may be, fill it. Even if the bowl that you've got over here, even if the glass you've got over here, even if the cup that you've got over here, is miyuchlemid, is something which you normally use for measuring. Now, if this person is your friend, it's one thing. But what if this person is actually a seller? He's actually a person that actually normally sells sugar, flour, coffee. So you're allowed to go to him and say, can you please fill it in? Can you please fill this cup to the top? I want to have some coffee. Can you do that? So this is if the buyer is taking a cup which belongs to the seller, who and you bring it to the house. So the cup is actually the cup over here is belongs to the seller, who and bring it to your house. Even more so, maybe if the buyer. If the person who buys it brings it from his house, the oil and he says to the seller, "Malei li, please fill me kli zed is kli, aval limdot bekli amiyuchad lemida." But if you are bringing a keli, which is a measuring cup per se, and he says, "Lishpech losech kelov shelakach also." So what you're allowed to do is, if you're going to him and he say, "Listen here, I've got his cup over here," or you'd use the seller's cup. Your own cup, it doesn't make a difference. And you say, okay, can you please fill this? And I'm going to take it home. That, he's filling it now with flour, with sugar, with whatever it may be, and you bring it home. There is an obvious understanding that what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen? What are you going to do tomorrow? What are you going to do? You took a cup of flour from him. Or you took a bowl of sugar. What are you going to do? Two options. Either you're going to... Yeah, that's right. That's what you're going to do. Boy, in terms of him... He's a seller, really. So what, there's two options. Either you're going to, on Sunday, either tomorrow you're going to pay him, or you're going to bring it back. You have to pay him back. He's not, he's a good friend, but he's not just going to give it away. So it is either you're going to pay him tomorrow, or you're going to replace it. And nevertheless, it is mutter to do so. So again, I'm going over the words again. Mutter loy male chaveiroy. You're allowed to tell your friend, male li kleze, please fill this cup for me. Hafilu miyuchad lemit. Even if normally that cup is used for measuring. That's if you're using the midot, the item from the seller, who melich lebeis and bring it to your house. Even more so, he may be alokeach mitoch beisoy v'emelim lekizeh. So it doesn't make a difference if the kli you're using is your own or the sellers or the buyers. It doesn't make a difference what you're using. The point being, you're allowed to take this filled kli and bring it home and pay him tomorrow. You're allowed to do so. But if you're coming along with a measuring cup and you're doing, you're measuring exactly how much in, how much out, that would be a problem. So that would be also. Yeah.
Wouldn't there be other problems? Like if someone has chayra, then he can't do anything with it on Shabbos because it's mukta, mechmas,
mukta. So no, this is a kli which is used for this is a kli which is used normally for the flour, for the sugar.
Exactly, the sugar. If it's his schayra, then that's what he's.
Yes, as far as so it is not something which is designated for schayra. You're right. Something which could have also been used on Shabbos as far as mukta. Let's see more the Mishnah Bosef Katan Aleph. Hainu. Mutter Aleph, three white lines from the bottom. Hainu darf to make a chumim ka also be Shabbos Yom Tov, although business transactions also on Shabbos, be'echad amoyche befeh, whether you're selling verbally, or be mesira, or with the transaction is passed on, you're doing a transaction by passing, meshicha, v'chein medida, similarly measuring, she'enu shal mitzvah, if you're measuring something which is not mitzvah related, gam ken also, it's also forbidden, Kanaba Simon Shinvov, as discussed earlier in Simon Shinvov, Afiloch, nevertheless, Motolema Blashin Zeh, you're allowed to say it with these words. Please fill it in, and fill the cup. That's alright. I'll see to it tomorrow. She'einoi oime Beloshin Mechira. Because, although yes, this is a transaction, and yes, there is a sale going on over here, and yes, this is a business action going on over here, nevertheless, you know why it's Mutter? She'einoi oime Loshin Mechira. You're not saying, sell me the sugar. sell me the potatoes. And you're also not mentioning an amount, a figure. You only said, can you fill up this bowl over here? So basically what it says, you're allowed to go to somebody who sells, you're allowed to go to a grocery shop, and somebody's got a grocery shop in his back garden, he sells all the, you're allowed to go to him, you bring along a cup, and he said, can you please fill this cup? And he's going to fill it, and tomorrow you're going to pay him for it. It's still fine. Why? Because you didn't say sell. You didn't say an amount. All you did is you say, please fill the cup. Okay, we move on. Ramah says, v'yesh mikili loyma, the culture in the mechavele midole gamri, some say that if you're not intending for a particular, if you're not intending for an exact measure, a little bit more, a little bit less, that will be fine. And that is the minig poshut. It is not, the Ramah says, you're allowed to, and this is the minig, to use a particular keli. So if the seller, who in the back garden is giving you this flour, who is giving you this sugar, he's using a measuring keli. Now why is he using a measuring keli? Why would he be using a measuring keli? He says exactly a liter. He says exactly a kilogram. Why would he be using that? Only one reason. He sells it in units. That's right. For the business purpose. He wants to know how much to charge tomorrow. And nevertheless, it is fine. It's mutter. But kliyam yuch and lemedim shvech lekelim shalakach. Ve'oid yisbar lecho besomuch tam ha-mekilim. Tiravor shabbos inu kmo b'yom tov. And lekamon sim tov kuv chuvhei. Rabbi, so we're learning now a chiddush. That you are allowed to purchase something on Shabbos as long as what? You didn't mention the word selling, and you didn't say the word a certain amount. All you did is you took it, and you said, please fill it, and that's fine. Now, interestingly, there's a kash over here. The Ramah says, and that's not again for weekdays as well. The Ramah says, you're allowed to have a transaction can be a little bit approximate. That's what the words of the Ramah. Shememait o moisiv me'at shori. It is mutter to use a keli. So if he's going to sell you a kilogram, it doesn't have to be exactly a kilogram. It's a bit more, a bit less, it's fine. And that's fine. Shememait o moisiv me'at, a little bit more, a little bit less, is fine. So what's the question over here? It's a fundamental question. You're allowed to sell an approximate amount? Is that okay? Pardon? Of course not, you can't. It's why not? It's gezel. You cannot sell an approximate, and yet that's what the Ramah seems to be saying. Shememait o moisiv me'at shori. If you're selling a little bit more, a little bit less, it's permitted. Never mind Shabbos. Even a weekday you can't do that.
How is it gezel? If I thought that if the kesh and the meicher are both happy to do it.
Says the Mishnah Berurah, that's precisely the point. Mishnah Berurah says cotton vav, and that's a fundamental point. There's no gezel here. Why? It is known to the owner, it's an approximate share. And that's why certain things are sold with approximate measures. So anybody who's involved in a business, this is a very important Mishnah Berurah, which is actually Morgan Avraham. And it's very important for us, it's very important to know. At times, things are sold in approximate, and it doesn't have to be precise. And that's fine, and that's acceptable. When I was in Yeshiva in Gateshead, there was one person who bought 1,000 labels. Do you remember that? There was a person, Bocher, who bought 1,000 labels. You know, there's labels with his name on it, stickers. And he, you know, how much does it cost? It doesn't cost a lot of money. But he had spare time, and you know what he did? He counted. He counted the labels. And what happened? It was 996 or 997, something like that. So he called him up and he said, "This is theft. It's not right." And he paid these £5 or £10 for 1,000 labels, and the product wasn't sold. He only got 996 or something like that. He counted. You know how many hours did it take to count the 1,000 labels, little stickers? So and then they apologized 100 times, and they sent another 100 or something like that. Whatever. But the Meister halachically, I don't know if they're right. I don't know if it was a Yiddish organization, manufacturer, I don't know if they had to, because it's probably, I don't know, it could be it's an approximate share. It's a, at times you're selling something in approximate. Pardon? You're right. If it says 1,000, so the Mishnah Berurah's case of here is the equivalent nowadays would be if you buy a kilo of something, you buy a bag of flour, a bag of sugar. If it ends up being a little bit less, that would be the equivalent. So maybe the labels, you're right. Labels, Mr. you're buying 1,000. It has to be precise. But if you're buying a bag of, you know, the flour, sugar, even tea bags, I'm not sure. If it goes according to weight, according to volume, and it turns out to be a little bit less, halacha, the Ramo is teaching us over here, shememayt amoisif a little bit, it's fine. Similarly also, if you gave a little bit too much, if it is more than a kilo, then the seller can't tell you that, you know, he wants some money back, because it's all included in this general understanding that if something goes according to weight or volume, he can be mad or moisif a little bit. Did I once say the story of the cups, the American company of the cups? Did I say it once? The 100 plastic cups? Do you know this story? It's an amazing story. I'll just finish off the Siv Beis. I want to share with you. She's a Moedig Emaisa. Siv Beis tells us the following. It's the following on from what we learned now. You are allowed to tell your friend, Maleli Kli Zeh, fill this cup, and tomorrow we're going to measure it. But may not say, give me a certain measure. This is again a continued halacha of transaction and business on Shabbos. Are you allowed to go to your friend who sells his flour or his sugar or whatever item it may be, and you tell him, okay, here, I've got over here a cup. Please fill me this cup to the top and I'll sort it out with you tomorrow. Which means that basically you're buying something on Shabbos. Imagine you're going to Mendy's and I don't know what gets filled with. What gets filled nowadays? What's that? Okay, yeah. Imagine you go there and you fill it to a certain amount and you say, okay, you know, I'll pay you tomorrow. Can you do that or not? So Dermot says, Shulchan Aruch says, Mota loy malechaveiroi, you may go to your friend, maleli klize, fill this cup, this bag, fill it to the top, and tomorrow we'll measure it, if it's still around. So what's the purpose of having it on Shabbos, if you're only filling? Yeah, so tomorrow we're going to weigh it, we're going to measure it. This is muta. But, what you're not allowed to do, is fill it now, 50 grams, or 100 grams, and I'll pay you tomorrow accordingly. That you can't. Why not? What's the difference? What you're not allowed to say is that to specify the measure and the shear at this point. Say, give me 50 grams, 100 grams, I'll pay you tomorrow. That you can't. But we're allowed to fill up the bag and say, we'll sort it out tomorrow. What's the difference? Pardon? Mischaven. So the way it's put in the post scheme over here is that the key, and we'd have to know that for the next seif as well, the issa is when it comes to measurements, that's when it's very close to a business transaction. Like you're not allowed to talk about money, you're not allowed to talk about financial, so similarly also the volume, the weight, that's also closely related, as I mentioned earlier, closely related to the amount, the cost. Therefore, you may not mention that. Say, fill me 100 grams. You can't, because 100 grams, that means money. That means a cost. That means a business transaction. If you're just loosely saying, fill it to the top, and I'll pay you tomorrow, and I'll sort it out tomorrow, that will be fine. Yeah.
So, two questions. Number one, let's say you want a banana, and they sell bananas at a fixed cost.
Will be the same thing. Well, there's a bit more to be discussed in Shulchan Aruch later about this. Okay, that's Siv Dalet. We'll see in Siv Dalet, yeah.
And the second question is, why isn't it Hachana to say we'll measure it tomorrow?
Why is it not Hachana to say we'll measure it tomorrow? Why is it not Hachana? Why is it not Hachana? Mishnah Berurah actually asked that question. And Mishnah Berurah says, because Tzorech Shabbos is Mutter. Because you need it on Shabbos, therefore it's mutter. Mishnah Berurah's teretz and Sifkot Meches. Habos, I want to quickly share with you this story. I didn't verify it now for this year, but I did verify it at one point. It was a Yiddish businessman. If I share this story once here, please interrupt me. It was a businessman in America who went into manufacturing plastic cups. This goes back a few years ago. I remember when it actually happened. He was producing cups. And then he realized his business was going well, but competition is very, very strong. So he worked out that actually, if you produce 100, to keep the price down, so he said, you know what? Nobody counts. When he said, you know, the plastic cups, they go in hundreds. They go in hundreds, right? So he said, you know what? Actually, instead of 100, I'll do 98. And it made financially a lot of sense to him. And he kept the price there, but he sold 100 cups. And there was actually 98 in there. And afterwards, he worked out, you know, 98, no, but nothing happened. He went down to 96, still nothing happened. And he went all the way up to 92. That means he saved himself. Make a cheshbon. I mean, I don't know how to calculate it, but he was a very substantial. He worked out. And after a few years, then he felt very, very bad about this. He'd come to a point that somebody was more to him, and he felt very bad about this. He didn't know what to do because he wanted to see, he felt bad, and he said, okay, he's going to rectify, he's going to go. But he felt true because he might say he had sold probably hundreds of thousands of people. He had missold, you know, instead of 100, he said big 100 and very cheap, but he was undercutting the business a little bit, and he was very successful. He became a wealthy man, but he felt a bit uncomfortable about this. So he went to one of the Gedolei, I seem to remember, went to Avozna, but it could be somebody else. He went to the Gedolei, Poiske Adoy, and he said, what do I do about this? I've done Tshuva, and I've done Al-Chit, and Hashem lo began a number of times, but my sir, I have stolen from many, many people, because I sold 100 cups, and only there was 92 in there. And what shall I do about this? So this Gon Hadoy, I think it was Avonu, but could be somebody else. He said, you've got to do tshuva. He said, but how do I do tshuva? What do I do? Shall I just give a moised money? Shall I give some tzedakah? What should I do? He says, no, what you've got to do is you've got to add now, from now onwards, you have to add, you still sell on the packet, it says 100, but you should add in the, you should add a few cups in the, I don't know if it was 102, 104, you have to add. And then he said, but that's costing me. I said, yeah, but that's if you want to do tshuva. It's tshuva samishkol. You have to do it. You have to balance it out. And he was very reluctant to it, but he did it. And now the story's not finished yet. So he did it. And then a few months later, after he'd done it, and it did cost him a lot of money, a few months, there was one of the TVs, one of the, I don't know exactly, one of the, they tried to, they, every week they have to find like something to see in the bit, you know, the, pardon? He had to investigate. And then they did exactly that test. They took cups of bags of plastic, and they counted. And that's exactly what they did. And they found out that actually, most of them were under 90, but it was one out of many cups that many companies, many things they took. They picked his as well. And lo and behold, there was 104 cups there. So, and that was, it went into, in the public domain. It was an absolutely amazing advertisement for him. So that Kadosh Baruch Hu paid him back the kifah kiflaim. Okay, paying you back a few times. So that's what's happening. Personally, Yashua's in business. Kadosh Baruch Hu pays back. Good evening, Abbo Isai.